Back with you again Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022 on Connecticut Today. We discussed some new numbers from an unexpected poll in the state's Republican U.S. Senate race. Also, we were joined by board-certified anesthesiologist Dr. Keith Smith. He discussed what he sees as a coming healthcare revolution and a big pushback on what many hospitals charge consumers and insurance companies for many common healthcare procedures. Start off today's escapade with this, and just posted this on our Facebook page. Check it out. Different question every day from this here show, facebook.com/WICC600. Once again, facebook.com/WICC600. All right. Pretty basic question, I think. I didn't really go, you know, I didn't go all Mensa. Didn't go all MIT, all Yale, all Harvard, all Princeton with you on this today. But how long do you think it'll be before another Republican member of Congress is elected from Connecticut? Now, last Republican member of this state's delegation, and in New England, by the way, Christopher Shays lost in 2008 in the first Obama wave, and that's it. So it's, you know, barring something unforeseen. Now, there may be an upset in the 5th District with George Logan there and Jahan Hayes. We'll get to that momentarily. But, of course, everybody focusing on the Senate race here. And there's a new poll out today on that Senate race. Now, granted, it's done by a pollster for one of the candidates in the race, which is kind of interesting. But the numbers, you know, you got to look at them. You may not like them. You may say, oh, it's a bunch of garbage, whatever. But, you know, it has been over 14 years, or coming up on 14 years, rather, since the last election here in the state where a Republican was defeated. And that's been it. 2008, Christopher Shays, 4th District House member. And that has been it. Goodbye. See you later after 2008. But what's going to happen now? Our primary day is not tomorrow. It's not today, rather. It's next Tuesday. So I know you may be hearing from our national news this afternoon. We're keeping you updated on, you know, some primaries that happen today. It's primary day in a bunch of other states, not here. We go off next Tuesday, August the 9th. So by the time maybe next Tuesday is over, we will have a Republican nominee to take on Mr. Blumenthal. Now, is it even, and I know you have to do these exercises, but is it going to make any difference? You know, and I was debating this with people. We had a spirited Facebook debate today. I belong to a couple of political groups on Facebook, and I just had some fun today with people saying, you know, well, read the room. Well, you know, we have to have a principled conservative run against Mr. Blumenthal. A doctrinaire conservative can't win in this state. Do people understand you can't win in this state? Connecticut is a blue state, and the cities are only getting bluer, and some of the suburbs that used to balance off the cities are getting bluer as well. So the notion that you can win with somebody who's this, I may be wrong here, but my gut tells me, my prodigious gut tells me, that, you know, the notion that you can suddenly win here with somebody who's a, you know, doctrinaire, you know, anti-abortion, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Tenth Amendment, pro-this, pro-that, I don't know. I'm not buying it. Now, there's a story today. It's in the Connecticut Post. It's actually Mark Pazniokas's story that's been picked up by the Connecticut Mirror. Pollster pushing GOP to rethink its chances of beating Blumenthal. A national Republican pollster, John McLaughlin, I guess, has done a poll here. And it's weird, well, not weird on the face of it, but just a couple of caveats here. John McLaughlin also works for Senate candidate Leora Levy, which I guess, you know, he can have multiple gigs. I understand that. But a national GOP pollster, John McLaughlin, has looked at the race. Now, how did this happen? This is kind of interesting. This is what you call a circuitous route or route or route here in politics. According to this story in the Connecticut Mirror, a California winery owner who has financed an eclectic mix of Republican causes is paying for polling to coax the national GOP, right, to look at Senate races that they may think are unwinnable or not likely to be winnable. And one of the races that John Jordan, this is the guy's name, he's a California winery owner. Good money in wine, we all know that. I'm not a wine guy. But on the dime of John Jordan, who is a California winery owner, he has hired Republican pollster John McLaughlin, who also, not that John McLaughlin, he passed away a few months ago. God rest his soul. Issue one. But apparently, he is polling four or five states to see, to kind of maybe coax the National Republican Party to put a few more dollars into some of these races, and one of them is the Connecticut race. Now, McLaughlin says here, surveyed state voters last week for fresh evidence of discontentment with Richard Blumenthal. So what was the bottom line here? The bottom line is this. The survey returned mixed results. Now, what's the mixed result? Well, and you let me know what you think about this, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And again, the question, how long will it be before another Republican member of Congress is elected from Connecticut? Because I think it couldn't be. It could be a long time. Some people may like that. Some people may, pity that. I don't know. But apparently, the survey returned mixed results. Blumenthal remains the favorite, but he does have some vulnerabilities. McLaughlin's poll, so in other words, this guy, McLaughlin, who already works for Leora Levy, did a poll on behalf of this winery owner. And get this, it found that Richard Blumenthal has an 11-point lead over his closest competitor, which would be, much to the chagrin of a lot of people on the far right in this state, which would be Themis Claridis. She still polls best of the three. Now, Peter Lumage, for some reason, was not included here. My guess, possibly, is that because McLaughlin already works for Leora Levy, he probably said, listen, I'll leave Peter Lumage out so it doesn't look bad for my candidate. The numbers he had were similar to what came out of that Emerson College poll that was done in May for WTNH. But respondents were unfavorable. Now, here's the rub, folks. Even though Richard Blumenthal leads Themis Claridis by 11 points in that poll, in this poll, which is pretty close to previous polls, respondents were unfavorable when asked if Mr. Blumenthal deserves to be reelected. Now, that's interesting. And these are different. So we'll get into this more in a bit. 333-9422, 333-WICC. Once again, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. More on this poll here. And again, our Facebook question of the day, facebook.com/WICC600. How long do you think it'll be before another Republican member of Congress is elected from the state of Connecticut? Will we be on Mars? by then? Will we have condos on Mars before this ever happens? Could be. Traffic and weather together right here on WICC. So today's big political news in the state, if you're just hanging out with us and coming in the room, hey, how are you? Relax. Put your feet up. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Leora Levy's pollster, John McLaughlin. No, not that John McLaughlin, but Leora Levy's pollster, John McLaughlin, has was commissioned to do a poll by this California winery owner who likes to spread his cash around, John Jordan. I guess the winery business is pretty good, huh? So John Jordan tells John McLaughlin to do this poll about Connecticut with the assistance, by the way, of Dick Morris about this. So even more people in the kitchen now. And this is a way to push maybe the National Republican Party to elevate the Connecticut race with Dick Blumenthal from a Tier 2 status to a Tier 1 status. And the bottom line is they came out with some rough numbers here. And in those numbers, as we said, you know, Dick Blumenthal has, you know, sizable leads, 11 points over Themis Claridis, 12 points over Leora Levy. And the idea now was to try and push the National Republican Party into sinking more money into the state campaign. And our friend Ben Proto, the state Republican Party chair, is quoted in here. Not quoted, but he is referred to in here. Saying that he and others expect the NSRC to take another look at the state after the primary. So you're not going to get more money now. You'll get it after the primary to see whoever wins. Again, Peter Lumage was not included here, and I can kind of understand why, because Peter Lumage is the number one, he is the number one foe against Leora Levy to try and get those disaffected Republicans who don't think Themis Claridis is conservative enough. Blumenthal leads Themis Claridis 45-34 and 45-33 over Leora Levy. Poll of 500 likely voters, margin of error plus or minus 4.4 percentage points. But there are deeper numbers to go into here. And again, one of the upshots of this poll is that it's not a heck of a lot different from the Emerson College Hill News 8 poll from a couple of weeks ago. Rich in Bridgeport, here's a guy that writes out fat campaign checks. Rich, what's up with you?
Hey, Paulie. You know, I got a few problems with this poll.
Okay.
I'll start with what's the voter universe are we looking at?
Likely voters. 500 likely voters. Margin of error plus or minus 4.4 points.
Okay, so we're not entirely sure of the of the voter registration of these people. Let's assume that they took a legitimate equal cross-section of Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliates.
Sure.
I try not to use the word independent because there is an independent party.
Yeah, you're right.
Love to get into that discussion again.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you're looking at it here, if they don't include Lumage, and yes, we know Lumage and Levy are one and the same person.
Yeah.
They're running under identical. They're both anti-communist. They escaped, you know, commie countries when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
All good and great. But Levy can't do two jobs at once. She cannot possibly raise funds in her job as a Republican National Committee woman, raising funds for the endorsed candidate who is her own opponent. Mm-hmm. If Themis Claridis wins, and when she wins the primary, will Levy do her job and continue to raise money for the RNC, knowing that it's going against a person who she has outwardly said is not qualified to be a senator? Can we thus deduce that she's going to vote for Dick Blumenthal? I feel Levy is torn and should have picked one, either resign your position as an NRC committee woman or stop running for Senate. Obviously, she's done neither.
Mm-hmm.
And if she has any intention of actually winning, Peter Lumage is not colluding with Themis. Themis, you know, clearly, I wouldn't say she's, morally challenged just because she's married to an Eversource employee, because she's running for federal office. That doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's been a stumbling block in the state level. She never would have won. We get that. But Leora Levy's not doing herself any service by going out and completely attacking Themis, violating Reagan's so-called 11th commandment, never speak ill of a fellow Republican. She's the RNC committee woman. And I think that Republican leadership in the state and nationally needs to take a long, hard look at Lyra Levy and see if she's still qualified for RNC committee womanship or indeed any position in the RNC. Because right now, her approval rating notwithstanding, she's doing the party a disservice.
All right. And on that note, Rich, thank you. Rich in Bridgeport there. Always interesting thoughts. Let's talk about health care. Yes, because this is one of those things, you know, along with immigration and other things that we talk a lot about, but we never seem to get any tactful movement on something that we can point to and say, look at that. They finally did that. Well, our next guest thinks something is coming. He wrote a recent op-ed, a healthcare revolution is coming. Can you smell it? Pulling from the repertoire of The Rock. And this is in realclearhealth.com. You can look it up. Dr. G. Keith Smith is the guest. He is a board-certified anesthesiologist, co-founder of the Surgery Center of Omaha. Dr. Smith, hi, it's Paul here on WICC. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Man, from your lips to God's ears, a revolution. I would take something just waking up. I mean, a revolution is fine. But, man, we seem to talk about this over and over again. First of all, what made you put pen to paper and write this?
Well, I co-founded the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, and in 2009, just as an act of defiance, we put all of our all-inclusive surgical prices online on a website for patients to see. Mm-hmm. And that really was the beginning of what I would argue is a revolution, and I believe the revolution has already begun. What is going to astonish people, I believe, is how quickly it spreads all over the country, where physicians and hospitals have to compete in the same marketplace-like disciplined environment that every other industry does. So if you're not any good at what you do, then you should go out of business. And if you're really expensive for no reason, then you know you should have competitors who can hold you to task. That's here in Oklahoma, where I live. And it's coming, and it's really good news, because competition is a good thing. It makes price fall, it makes quality soar.
You know, Dr. Smith, I understand that, and we do that when we shop for vegetables or groceries or even automobiles and, you know, even such areas as, you know, airline tickets and train tickets. We assume a certain level of competence, and then we look for a price. Do you think, though, Dr. Smith, that this may be a little hard for people to accept because, they know their doctor, they know their specialist, they want to stick with them? And it's like, well, I trust this person. He or she may be more expensive, but this is my doctor. Do you think there's a natural barrier there to that or not?
I think there is a natural barrier, and it's the third-party payment system where people receive medical services with the idea that someone else is paying the bill. What's changing is many people are faced with real medical bills, and they have sticker shock. And so they're motivated shoppers. They're looking around. And what they're finding is that the honest people who will say, yeah, I'll do that for this price, that person has to be really good at what they do, mm-hmm. or they actually can't put a price on it. It's the big hospitals that say, we can't give you a price. We're not sure. Well, the reason they're not sure is they're probably not very good at it, and they've had so many issues with whatever procedure a patient needs that they can't price it. And that's not the place you want to be.
Dr. G. Keith Smith is the guest. His recent op-ed in realclearhealth.com titled, A Healthcare Revolution is Coming. Can you smell it? Dr. Smith, hang on. We'll be right back with you. Talk more about this fascinating topic. First, though, traffic and weather together right here on the 6s 336 on WICC. When is medical service going to get cheaper in the country? Is it easy to find out, for example, what a hospital is going to charge and what percentage of that will you be stuck with after your insurance pays? A healthcare revolution is coming. Can you smell it? God, I hope so. Dr. G. Keith Smith is the guest. He's an Oklahoma-based anesthesiologist. He wrote a piece recently at realclearhealth.com. Dr. Smith, do you find that there is talk about this amongst you folks, the professionals in medicine? And I know I hear from my medical professionals about the, you know, the growing pressure as more and more of these hospitals and services are bought out. They get to bigger companies. Is that having a deleterious effect as to what's going on here and adding to the cost?
Yes, absolutely. And you were spot on. I love what you said. Introduction, the last segment, it seems like something's going to happen and then something gets in the way and nothing ever happens. And people need to know that that something that gets in the way is the government. It's the state governments. It's mainly the federal government, because the big industry players go to Washington, D.C., and they lobby for favors, which are auctioned off there. And sometimes they come out looking like regulations that are meant to rein these price gougers in, when really what their effect is to destroy the smaller competitors, which results in consolidation. And you have hospitals buying hospitals. And the fewer hospitals you have, it's not rocket science just to figure out there's less competition and price. There are plenty of academic studies that show that the fewer hospitals there are in an area, as it shrinks, the prices go up. And I would argue the quality falls too, because if you know you don't have a competitor, you don't have to be any good.
And even with the insurance companies playing part of this, you know, Dr. Smith, a few months ago I went for a very common outpatient procedure. I was in the hospital for maybe 2 hours, 40-minute procedure. Everything's fine, you know, a little kidney stone procedure there. And I got the bill. And, yeah, I mean, look, my insurance company, you know, the bill was about $13,000. Insurance picked up about $11,000, which I thought was fair. But when I followed up with my urologist, we were laughing about it. He asked me about the bill, right? And I said, well, he goes, how much did they charge you? And I told him, he goes, wow. I said, what? He goes, did you look at the bill? I said, yeah. He said, and he got really apologetic, doctor. And he goes, you know, my fee was only $400 out of that. I said, that's okay. That's all right. I said, you were looking over my health for about an hour. I'm okay with that. But the fact that my urologist had to say that he was sorry that all he charged was $400 out of $13,000. I mean, I'm sitting here going, wow, that's wild.
Well, and at our facility, we do lithotripsies for kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
You know, lithotripsy, including the urologist and anesthesiologist, is about a third of what you were charged.
Wow.
So, we're making money. The hospital you went to probably claims to be not-for-profit. But this is coming. I mean, this price pressure, this quality pressure is coming. It's great news. We're going to see at the Free Market Medical Association, their website, there's prices posted there. And if people are not willing to travel to Oklahoma or any other place that posts their prices, they can use that pricing to leverage a bill wherever they live. The first patients that arrived when I launched the website in 2009 were Canadians. You know, and they've got coverage. They just don't have access to the care so many of them need. But patients from all 50 states included have traveled to Oklahoma to receive their surgery at a reasonable price. And we're going to see this coming. It really is going to come. And it's really good news for all the people in this country.
Okay, so, doctor, who's going to stop that? Who's going to be sitting in the boardroom saying, no, we can't have this. We got to pass something that says, you know, if you want so-and-so procedure, you can't cross the state line. I mean, somebody is going to raise a red flag somewhere, right?
You know, the free market is tough. It's tough to argue with, because cheaper and better is just in the genes of most Americans. And if somebody tries to argue against cheaper and better, it's so obviously self-serving, and there's such obvious lies. That's a very difficult argument to make. I think the free market, as the great economist Murray Rothbard said, is a beautiful thing, but it's also a very powerful thing. And I think that there are headwinds for sure, and the federal government will fan the flames and help out all of their crony pals the best they can. But I think it's a losing fight for the bad guys.
And I hear that, doctor, from medical professionals, you know, that like you, that I know, my personal doctors, my friends who are in medicine at every level, from being an MD to an APRN to an RN to a physician's assistant, they love what they do, but they don't like the atmosphere that you're constantly battling in this whole thing, yet you love what you do.
That's true, and that's why I believe there should be more physician ownership of the facilities where they work. You know, that was the default setup in the United States before the Hill-Burton Act was passed under the Truman administration in the 50s. Physicians owned and controlled and were responsible for not just the medical care, but the financial treatment of the patient. We're in there because they owned and controlled the facilities. So that brings an accountability back to medical service delivery that I think is sorely needed. And I think we'll see more of that in spite of the federal government and Obamacare in particular that made that more difficult.
All right, check it out, the Free Market Medical Association online, fmma.org. And our guest, Dr. G. Keith Smith, an Oklahoma-based anesthesiologist, and his recent op-ed that appeared in Real Clear Health. And you can check it out. Go to realclearhealth.com. A healthcare revolution is coming. Can you smell it? You're borrowing a line from The Rock there, doctor. You're not coming off the top. You're not coming off the top rope there, are you?
That was irresistible.
Yeah, absolutely. Doctor, thank you. We'll keep in touch. We'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. There you go. All right. Yeah, listen. So, you can shop around now, and I think Connecticut has the same law that was passed recently, and I think, now don't quote me on this, I'll have to check on this for you folks, but I think Connecticut now has a law where hospitals basically have to, you know, post their prices, and if you call up, you know, a hospital's information officer or billing office, you say, hey, I need right knee replacement with no complications, or, you know, I need an aortic valve replacement, what's it going to cost? Interesting.